Podcast City Network. The Everett Lee Show.
Welcome to the Everett Lee Show. I'm the Everett Lee. I want to give a shout out to everyone who follows me on social media. Everett Lee Show on Facebook, Twitter, at the Everett _ Lee, Instagram, Everett Lee, YouTube, Everett Lee, and of course, Podcast City Network, your top source for independent podcasting. Be creative, be yourself. Follow them over on podcastcity.net, Facebook, Podcast City Network, Twitter, at Podcast City Net. And to support the Everett Lee Show, head over to podcastcity.net/shop and pick you up some nice Everett Lee Show merchandise. And there's tons of stuff on the website, services, how to help you out starting out a podcast. And of course, you can listen to the Everett Lee Show right here on Podbeam, Stitcher Radio, iTunes, Amazon Music, and iHeart Radio. So let's get into it on this Tuesday night here on Podbeam Live. My guest tonight, he is an independent wrestler. I had his tag team partner on a few weeks ago, Brandon Wolf. I want to welcome the other half of that tag team right here tonight on the Everett Lee Show, none other than James Kendrick. How you doing there, James?
I'm doing all right. How about yourself?
Not too bad. Not too bad. Enjoying this warm weather we're having right here in Daytona.
I wish I had warm weather.
Where about you at?
Oh, I'm right in central Kentucky.
Okay.
Right now we're getting that fall spring, so it's going between cold and warm and back to cold, and the weather here is unpredictable.
It certainly does sound like it's unpredictable. I mean, good friend of mine that passed away a couple weeks ago, JJ McGuire. He collaborated with Jimmy Hart on a lot of wrestling themes. He was up in Somerset there.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Yeah. When I always talked to him on the phone, he said, you know, come up, you know, visit. And I pretty much, you know, was going to plan on doing it this year, but unfortunately that didn't happen. And yeah, it's not going to happen now. I mean, it's, you know, with his passing. And then on top of that, Scott Hall passing away too in the same week, man. Yeah. Double whammy. Yeah. Yeah, double whammy there. It just took me by surprise with JJ. But then I heard about Scott Hall with what everything was going on with him, man. And yeah, I was hoping you'd hang in there, man. I hoping he was going to hang in there.
Well, so did I. I'm pretty sure a lot of people hope he was going to hang in there.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just two losses this past week in the world of wrestling, man. That's really just, you know, got to me, and it got to a lot of the fans and stuff. But I know people's paid tribute to Scott Hall. Saturday, Podcast City Network paid tribute to JJ McGuire. We had some people come on, Jim Phillips, and Thumper Chapman and David Barber Spector. They paid tribute to the True Master of Wrestling ring music, but it's been a week for wrestling, you know, taking a toll like that.
Uh-huh.
It has. And it's like, I don't even want to say, you know, you're not supposed to say, well, who's next.
Yeah,
because don't want to say that.
Yeah,
because it's just I like Scott Hall. I like what he did with wrestling and his mind and what he gave to wrestling. What are some of your memories of Scott Hall?
When he first made his WWE debut as Razor Ramon, that was the first time I ever saw him. Then, you know, I'll just like when he first started, you know, typical bad guy. And I'm like, ooh, I hate that bad guy. then after a while, you know, I just started like watching his in ring work and all that, and I'm just like, oh, he's actually pretty good. then like to this day, like I'll go on Peacock or I'll go on YouTube or something and just watch some of his old videos or matches or whatnot, and I'm just like, he was a genius.
He was. He had a good mind for the business. He did. He would. There wouldn't be like an indie show. He would show up because there's so much footage of him out there going to independent shows.
Yeah.
It'd be something. Wouldn't that be something? You're working at a promotion. You're working a show, and all of a sudden, here comes the bad guy in the back. There, it's like, whoa! Didn't expect this, yeah. Man.
There's been a few occasions where I've been in a locker room and there's a big time talent that would come in the locker room, and the last podcast I did, I was telling the story about I was in Long Island and I'm downstairs in the locker room and I look over and there's this guy with blonde hair sitting there just looking at the card, and I'm like, he kind of looks familiar. And he kind of turned a little bit, and I see, like, he had a black eye. I was like, man, he really looks familiar. I couldn't put my finger on it. Then he just comes up and says, hey, I'm Shane Douglas. And I was just like, hi. Just having people like that just come, just drop into a show just unannounced, and, you know, for guys that, you know, been in it for a while, they're like, you know, that's just them doing them, whatever. And, you know, when you're a young guy, you just see someone that you just idolize, and you're just like, oh, wow, that's really him.
Yeah, it makes you want to sit there and pull them aside just for a minute and pick their brain.
Yeah.
You do, because what they've done for the business, because you want to pick their brain and get their you know, thoughts on this or that, and you just want to learn from them. And
yeah,
that's the best thing with veterans giving back to this, you know, new generation of workers.
Yeah, I mean, like, to this day, like, I was taught when you're in a locker room, you find your seat after you shake everybody's hand, introduce yourself, sit there, keep your mouth shut, don't ask questions unless you're you know, I mean, you can ask questions, but don't be like a nuisance about it. So, I mean, I've been wrestling since 2006, and I still go into a locker room, shake everybody's hand, find my chair, sit there, and I just listen. That's the best way to learn. It's a lot of young guys, they don't get taught that, which I don't know why, but, you know, it is what it is. I mean, it's you got to have, like, I tell young guys that, like, go with me to some shows, I'm like, oh, you find a spot, see where the veterans are sitting, and just sit there and just listen to them. And I was like, that's the only way you're going to learn. I mean, you can ask them questions. They blow you off, they blow you off. Don't take no offense about it. But some veterans are like, I'm not going to teach you anything. You just learn on your own. Then other guys will be like, okay, yeah, you got to do this. Oh, you did that wrong. Why'd you do that? Or, you know, whatever. I mean, it's a treat,
mm-hmm,
to see veterans that go beyond what they're used to and just explain things to guys.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I agree with you right there. I definitely agree with you right there. Sit down with a veteran. I sat down with a veteran promoter and learned some psychology on what's going on in a match. And it was stuff that was right there in front of me that I didn't really pay attention to until it was pointed out and saying, look at this. And it just, it opened up this whole different world for me just to look at wrestling. Because when I watch a match, I watch it from two points of views. I watch it from a fan point of view and a business point of view. Yeah. Sometimes I understand the business point of view. I'm like, okay, I get that. But then from the fan's point of view, I'm like, oh, come on, man.
I do the same thing.
Yeah. I look at it that way. I look at it that way. And I can understand most of the time when the fans are, but then when they get mad and go on social media and start complaining about this. But then when I look at it from business point of view, I was like, good call. That was great right there. How that was handled. And it's just, you learn to look at it that way. And I was fortunate enough to, privileged and lucky enough to learn some things. I don't know anything, everything.
Yeah.
I mean, but knowing what I did learn, it helps. It helps because when I watch a match and stuff, I watch for footing, I watch for story, and I watch how much the face and the heel interacts with the crowd. Because I like a good heel that interacts with the crowd, and when the fans are yelling at him, he gives it right back to him, hollers at him, shut up. And then when they pick a body part and start working on it, man, that's definitely what I love about wrestling.
I don't think like some young guys that I see, they don't. It's especially when they're first starting out. They're just focused on the match. They're not really paying any attention to the crowd. And I'm like, you got to pay attention to the crowd, especially if you're the bad guy. You have to go out there. You see Susie Q out there picking her nose or something, go after her. You start going after that person, then everybody's going to come in and, start giving you more crap. Mm-hmm. If you just go out there and just do your match, why are the fans even there? They pay the money to be entertained.
Yeah.
So, I try to tell young guys, play to the crowd. Go to the crowd. Especially the little kids. Little kids are gold.
Yeah.
They're going to boo you or they're going to cheer for you. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Little kids. I laugh when I'm at a show and I hear little kids going after and just heckling the heel, and the heel's like giving it back to him. And I just love that because it's like, it's great because it's fan interaction in a lot of ways, man. It is, because you're interacting, you're making that connection with that crowd. And of course, you go after that little kid, then you're going to have everyone, you got to bring the heat. You got to bring the heat, baby. Like Dustin Rhodes would say, you got to bring that heat.
It makes them feel that they're a part of the show, which is, without the fans, we wouldn't be doing nothing.
Right.
Just, we're going to do this. There's nobody out there, but we're going to do this anyways.
Yeah.
But, the fans is worth that.
Exactly. Exactly is. I checked out three of your matches.
Okay.
And I looked you up on YouTube. I can barely find anything on James Kendrick.
When I put in
James Kendrick, I get stuff from like Brian Kendrick.
You know?
I'm like, this is not who I'm looking for. I'm looking for James Kendrick, man. I want to see him.
There's a few matches that are on YouTube.
There's some
one company that I used to work for called UWA. They had a TV spot, and all their TV shows got put on YouTube.
Uh-huh.
So if you go to Underground Wrestling Alliance, you go under there, there's quite a few matches of mine. It's just like the whole shows. So single matches, there's not very many on there.
Yeah. I had to go on IWTV, and IWTV, I don't know if you go on IWTV.
Yeah.
You do. I love that. It's one of the best, my favorite apps, places to go watch independent wrestling, because they got something going on every single weekend, man. They got they got a lot of promotions going on, you know, like four or five events going on through the weekend, starting on Friday night all the way into Sunday. And I went on there and I searched James Kendrick, and I found three matches that I watched from EWE Garage Wars.
Yeah.
And I watched that. The first one was James Kendrick versus, I'm probably going to mess this up because it was for the EWE Heavyweight Championship. Espiritu Maya.
Yeah. Yes. I think that's it. I when he told me his name, I was just like, okay, we'll go with that.
I love how when you get out there and they're already booing you, and they're already, the crowd's cutting, you know, trying to like, they're already heckling you about your hair, and they're like, check his hair. And it's like, and the ref's like, I did, he has none. And it's just is like, wow. And it is interesting because it was an octagon ring. And the only times I've seen any promotion use the octagon ring was Impact, TNA back in the day, and this local promotion here in Daytona, Go Wrestle. They used an octagon ring. So seeing an octagon ring, I was like, okay, it was a pretty good size ring there. And a lot of, I mean, you can move around in it, and you have, you know, corners to do anything in, and you and Maya utilized those corners there. But I mean, you were out to beat him down. That's what I love about it, man. You were out there to beat him down, and it was a good match. It was. And then with that finish there with the quick roll up, I didn't expect that, because when you were coming out of that corner, I was like, here goes his head. And then all of a sudden when he ducks that and gets that, rolls you up, you know, that surprise pin and 1, 2, 3, I was like, man, I was wanting to see more out of it, but it is what it is. And it was entertaining, and it was a good match. And
he
retained the championship. But the next one I watched was you and Joe Pro. I like this one. I like this one because as soon as Joe gets in the ring, you're like, let's go to work. You just jumped him from behind and started pounding his back, and you didn't let up on the guy. You held him down there. And what I loved about it is you worked his neck, and you worked his leg. I mean, you started off working that leg there, and just it, I loved it, man. And Joe trying to build that momentum to get back in there. And when he did, he let loose, but then you come back, you know, with killing his momentum. And it was good back and forth there. It was more like, it was like a brawl. And what I love is you guys didn't, you know, with the elbows, which I see, yeah, which you see a lot. It's like good, like punch. It's like you're punching each other, just smacking the crap out of each other. And he ended up getting the win on you there. And I mean, you come flying and he comes up with that look like a sidewalk slam and just get you there. 1, 2, 3.
Yeah.
I was like, damn. But still good match. It was just, you know, it just, when you're in the ring there, you want to kill your opponent, man. You just want to just your style with the brawling and stuff. Growing up watching wrestling, who'd you look up to? Who was your favorite?
I would have to say Jerry Lawler, honestly.
Okay.
You know, growing up in Kentucky, because every Tuesday night, Jerry Lawler and Jerry Jarrett's company would always be in Louisville every Tuesday night. Going up there watching like Jerry Lawler versus Bill Dundee, Jerry Lawler versus one of the Moondogs. Jerry, he was a brawler also. Even though, you know, most people are like, he's nothing. He does simple stuff. To me, growing up watching it, I was just mesmerized. You know, when he took down that singlet strap, you know, he was about to throw some fist. And
mm-hmm.
what really got me was every now and then he would throw the fireball.
Yeah.
And I was like, whoa. You know, as a little kid, I'm just like, oh man, that's awesome. But just watching the old Memphis stuff, it wasn't fancy. It was more, I'm going to punch you and kick you until you decide to quit.
Right. Right. Yeah. I can definitely see that now since you brought up Jerry. I can see that with the style and the way you move in the ring there. That I can tell now when you said Jerry Lawler, and then I said to myself, yep, I can see it now. I definitely could see it, man. He was great. Jerry was great. My favorite thing that Jerry did was Annie Kaufman.
Yeah.
Annie Kaufman, that was great, man, because I felt like he brought wrestling to the mainstream with that, because still to this day, David Letterman show, the highest rated episode is when Jerry slaps the piss out of Annie Kaufman right there, and Annie Kaufman goes off. And David Letterman just sit there, just like, well, we'll be right back after this. He didn't know what was going on. He got worked, and the crowd, everyone got worked. To me, I consider that one of the greatest works in professional wrestling with bringing it to the mainstream, because with that right there, with that notability and notoriety, that's what to me brought Jerry Lawler to the WWE, WWF.
Yeah.
Because of that right there. And it brought mainstream attention, Hollywood looking at this promotion in, you know, Memphis there. And it's like, what's going on here with this promotion there? And Kaufman was great. Kaufman was great as just, you know, being a heel. And it worked so good. It was great. Now, you said you've been wrestling since 2006. Yes. How did you get into wrestling? How did you go find a school? Who trained you? How did that come about?
Well, technically, I wasn't trained the right way. I mean, I started off in the backyard, you know. Then I got in contact with this promoter. And I was like, hey, you know, I want to be a wrestler and all that. He's like, well, get your license. He's like, I'll put you on this show. I mean, I knew a little bit, but I didn't know much. And he's like, well, you're booked tonight. You're going against a guy named Big Daddy Slash. Okay. He's like, this is how you're going to learn, sink or swim. All right. And Big Daddy Slash, he was probably 400 pounds.
Wow.
He was a big boy.
Wow.
And, you know, he was a big baby face. So I go out there and I'm, you know, healing up the crowd. And like, one of my mentors, Vic the Bruiser, he's like, before he even knew that I existed, he was on a tear that night, and he's like, just going off on everything. He looked at me, he's like, who are you wrestling tonight? I was like, Big Daddy Slash. He's like, no lockups for you. Okay. Then Slash gave me two lockups, and every now and then I'll be at a show with Vic. I'd be like, Vic, Slash gave me two lockups. Remember that? And you said no lockups. And he's like, oh. But after that, you know, Teddy, he's just like, just sink or swim. He's like, because I wrestled in high school, so I had a little bit of knowledge,
okay,
on how to somewhat protect myself.
Right.
He's like, just go out there and sink or swim. He's like, you're either going to make it or you're not.
Right.
So I worked for him for about 2 years.
Okay.
Just doing his small little circuit. And after that, he decided to close the doors on his company. And I just started branching out a little bit here and there, just learning, you know, like I said, you know, I'd go to a locker room and I'd see where the veterans are sitting. And I'll sit there and just keep my mouth shut and just listen to whatever, like just watching them, how they want to put their match together. Like, okay, well, they're doing this in that match, so I'm not going to do that. We're going to go this way. And, you know, I'll come back after the match and be like, okay, because I was always put in there with veteran workers,
right?
And you know, but they'll say, okay, you kind of screwed here, you need to do a little bit more of this. Okay, that's fine, I can do that, you know. Then after that, like I said, I just started branching out to different companies. Then 2010, I made my debut in Long Island, New York.
Okay.
Did a few shows there. Then
what promotion, if you don't mind me asking?
ECPW.
Okay.
The guy that runs it is his name's Gino. I can't remember his last name. But you know, it was a pretty fun company. I mean, I had a little gripes about it. They would bring in like three or four WWE legends or two or three TNA stars, and I'm like, you're kind of shitting on your homegrown company or your homegrown talent by, you know, not giving them that type of opportunity. They just, okay, TNA guy, you're going against this WWE guy. Well, what about your other guys, you know?
Right, right. Yeah. What about the locker room?
So,
yeah.
Yeah. You know, you got young guys there that are busting their asses, and you know, it really wasn't Gino's fault. The guy that was really booking it, it was his fault. He would always like, oh, big money stars are wrestling each other. We're not going to have these guys go against them. And it just rubbed me the wrong way.
Yeah. You got to blame the booker, man. It's always the booker.
Yeah.
It's always the booker. I understand that. Why don't you take an Impact guy or a WWE guy and put them up against someone there in the locker room? Because yeah, you know, 5 out of 5, they can tear the roof down.
Yeah.
They could.
Oh yeah.
I get it. But yeah, blame the booker. you always do that. It's always, I say this when I see matches or I see something going on. I said, who booked this shit?
Yeah.
Hey, that's the question. I was ribbing one of my friends one time. I was watching a match from a promotion I like. I'm not going to say what though, but I messaged him and I knew he was the booker, but I understand again from the fan's point of view and the business point of view. So I text him and I said, who books this shit? He never replied back. And I was like, oh damn. He thought I was serious. But so you're up in New York, you're wrestling for the promotion there. You leave, right?
Yeah.
I
take probably about 6 months off.
Okay.
Then move back down here to Kentucky. Then like not even 2 months back of being in Kentucky, I get back in the wrestling scene. Worked a good buddy of mine, his name's Cashflow.
Mm-hmm.
It was my first match back from being up on the East Coast, and oh man, I was sucking wind on that one.
I was gonna
we're going three it was probably about a 15-minute match, and like halfway through I'm like, oh dear God. Dear God.
You're blown up.
Oh, buddy. I'm trying to catch my breath. And cash flow is, he chops really hard.
He chops.
And he got me
he makes sure the nosebleed section hears it, huh?
I was like, oh my God. But, you know, after that, you know, started working for that little promotion for about a year and a half. Then, you know, around here, feds in Kentucky, they sprout up like wild flowers. And
right.
You know, after a while, they just, you know, slowly die off. Then, you know, more will pop up. Yeah. I just made my rounds to all these little promotions. Started going to UWA.
Mm-hmm.
In Indiana. Then I was there for probably about a year and a half, and they were doing weekly shows. So every Sunday was a show.
Okay. Okay.
So that was pretty good. That was pretty steady work. Then they decided to close their doors, and I was just like, well, I guess I better start looking for another company to work for.
Now, at this time, wrestling up in the East Coast and coming back to the Kentucky, mentally, what was like your mindset? You left the East Coast and coming back to Kentucky, and then with this promotion closing its doors, like mentally, where was your mind at that time with all this going on?
I mean, there was, you know, doubts like, maybe I should, you know, stop and continue with my real job for a while, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, once wrestling's in your system, you're just like, I just need to go find something to do. But mentally, it, like I said, it was it was kind of draining me for a while. You know, once I stopped having fun, I'm like, all right, I got to step away.
Right.
Step away for a while, because once you start having, when you're not having fun and you're second guessing yourself if you want to go to the show or not, more than likely someone's going to get hurt.
Right, right.
So I would step away for about a month or so. Then I'll start getting the itch and I'll get back into it. When I wrestled for, when SWE shut down and when I started going to UWA, I wrestled a buddy of mine named Aiden Blackheart.
Okay.
We were doing a match and he did like a reverse powerbomb to me onto the turnbuckles. My feet caught the turnbuckle and I just landed straight on the back of my head.
Ooh.
I was knocked out for a few seconds.
Damn.
Then I'm getting up and he does a back senton to me as I was getting up, and I didn't know he was coming in. And when it happened, you know, I had the air knocked out of me. So I finished the match and I'm like, man, I just can't catch my breath. Well, the next morning, I was supposed to go to work and I called out because I couldn't breathe. Uh-huh. Well, my ex-wife comes out and she's like, aren't you supposed to be at work? I said, no, you're taking me to the hospital. I had a partial collapsed lung.
Whoa.
Oh, yeah. And I spent 3 days in the hospital. And, you know, they're like, oh, take it easy. You know, I was like, well, am I cleared to, you know, do whatever? Oh, yeah, 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 you're cleared. A month later, I'm back in the wrestling ring.
Wow. So you took a buckle bomb and your feet yep. caught. And when yep. you knocked yourself out.
Yeah.
And while you're face down, I'm trying to visualize this, James. So you're visualize like you're yeah. face down on the mat. He decides to run up and come off the top doing a senton, right?
No, he was standing. He didn't get on the top. He just took off running on the ring, then did the back senton. He didn't know I was out.
Oh, wow. Wow.
Like my instincts were just kicking in, and I'm just, you know, trying to get up. And he does that. Like, he didn't know.
Uh-huh.
I mean, you know, I was loopy for a few seconds, and I started figuring out where I was at. Then he did the senton, and I was like, oh, he just knocked the air out of me.
Right.
Little did I know I had a collapsed lung.
Wow. Wow. So you went into the hospital or x-ray, concussion.
They did x-rays up, like they did all these types of tests. And I'm just like, I just want something to drink. It's like, no, you can't have anything to drink right now. Can I get some like ice chips or something? We can give you lemon swabs. I was like, no.
Lemon swabs. Wow. So like it, like what about, you didn't feel concussed in the head or anything, did
no.
you? No. 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 Just a no. collapsed lung. Wow. So it took yeah. about a month for everything to.
Yeah. I mean they said I can go back to doing normal activities, you know. I mean, I didn't tell them I was wrestling, it didn't happen. Right. So I just told him, I was like, oh, I was playing backyard football. And I just got hit wrong.
Playing some flag football in the back.
Yeah. So.
Wow. So.
Then after that, I went right back into it.
Wow. So when you got injured and you had that mentally, what was your mindset at that point there?
I mean, it was okay. I gotta pace myself a little bit more so I don't get winded fast. I mean, everybody knew what happened. So I was like, let me team with Big Zoe and let's do a tag team for a while
mm-hmm.
until I get like my wind fully back. And I was like, oh, okay, yeah, that's cool.
Right.
So we did that for 5 months doing tag teams. then he decided that, you know, he was going to go to Ohio Valley Wrestling. I was like, that's cool. It's, you know, you do what you got to do. You know, you want to go there? Okay. You know, I mean, I still talk to him every now and then. I'll go to Ohio Valley Wrestling and, you know, hang out with him. But
right,
I'm just like, he'll be like, when you coming to OVW? No, it's not for me.
No, I know Brandon Wolf, your tag partner. He went to OVW and he knows Reverend Ronnie Roberts really well.
I know Ronnie pretty well too.
Oh yeah, he's a great guy, Ronnie. I had him on a few weeks ago on the podcast here. I enjoyed having Ronnie on, and he spoke highly of Brandon. And I mean, that's one thing that I'm interested in is because watching the matches I've seen on IWTV, and then seeing the style, your style, and then seeing Brandon Wolf's style. How did you two meet up, and how did you decide to form a tag team? Because it's like night and day with what I see with you guys, man.
Well, I've known Brandon for three years now.
Okay.
And, you know, we'd be on the same shows, really didn't interact with each other. Then, we were doing some kind of fundraiser show like late last year, and the one of the bookers is like, Brandon, because Brandon just got done doing the opening match.
Right.
He's like, Brandon, I need you to do this tag match. He's like, you're going to team up with Kendrick. So we were just throwing together, and, you know, we did the match, and, you know, a couple of days later, I was like, maybe I should ask Brandon if he just wants to team up, you know? So I was like, hey, you just want to form a tag team? I was like, with your high flyingness and my kind of brawlingness, we can, you know, do whatever. He's like, oh man, that sounds great. So he's like, yeah, we can do a tag. And I was like, all right, cool. So we just started doing tag matches. So that first tag match we did was at that fundraiser. Then we did a six-man tag last month where we officially were tag team.
Okay. Let me ask you real quick, what fundraiser, if you don't mind, what fundraiser did you guys do?
It was for a school, a high school athletic department.
Okay.
It was like three promotions doing one show.
Oh, nice. That's great. That's great. Doing for the athletic department for the high school.
Yeah.
That's great. I love hearing stuff like that. Trying to help the athletic department. That's great.
Me and Brandon did one last week. No, 2 weeks ago we did one together. Another fundraiser show for athletic department. There was maybe 300 people.
Oh wow.
They had the Boogeyman was there.
Okay.
They had me doing a 10-man tag, and current NWA star Sal Renaro was on my team.
Oh, no way.
Yeah.
Oh wow. So you guys, the faces or heels?
Like meet and greet.
Uh-huh.
And Sal's like all the way across the gym just by himself at his table. So I just like, I'm gonna say hi.
Started
to him, and I was like, I remember when you wrestled for Ring of Honor. He's like, that was a pretty long time ago.
Yeah.
But I mean, the show did great.
Like I said, there's probably about 300 people there.
Yeah. Wow, that is great right there doing that. Yeah. I like the fact that you and Brandon are together as a tag team, because again, with your guys' style, with the high flying and then with how you with your brawling, it's great, because I seen Brandon post something up there for like New South. You've done New South. No?
I haven't went down there yet.
Okay. There's something wrong with your audio. It sounds like...
don't know. Is it working?
Yeah, I can hear you, but it sounds like really low, like you're like in a tunnel.
Oh, I have no idea. I'm just working off the phone here.
Okay. Let me try something real quick here. All right. How about that?
Is it better?
No. It's still about the same. Do you want to try jumping out real quick and jumping back in?
Yeah, I can do that.
Okay. Yeah, jump back out and jump back in real quick, because it usually does that. It fixes it. Take a quick break, and when we come back, we'll dive more into the conversation right here. But first, there's a couple things I do want to mention. Keep up with the latest shows and content from Podcast City Network over on podcastcity.net. Follow them on facebook.com/podcastcitynetwork. Twitter @podcastcitynet. Subscribe to our YouTube channel, Podcast City Network. On Twitch, Podcast City Network. Podcast City Network. Top source for independent podcasting. Be creative, be yourself. Whether it's a sticker for your car, a t-shirt for that special someone, or a neck garter to keep safe during COVID-19, Podcast City Network has you covered. Grab the latest PCN gear today at podcastcity.net/shop to show your support for your favorite show or shows from Podcast City Network today. Want to start a podcast, trying to grow your current show? Podcast City Network is here to help. We currently offer services for social media advertising, marketing, live stream hosting, custom logo design and branding, transcript services, custom intro and outro videos, audio video editing, press kits, one-on-one consultants, and much more. So don't wait, contact us today, podcastcity.net/services. Head over to the website, fill out the form, get in contact with Podcast City Network. Have you ever wanted to start a podcast but didn't know how? Do you already have a podcast but you don't know how to grow it? Are you trying to find ways to make your podcast profitable? You can learn how to do it here at Podcast City Network. We offer consultant services, tutorial classes to help with learning to better expand your knowledge to grow your show. We also give access to our network of shows to help with cross promotions, guests, and overall reach while becoming a part of our ever-expanding PCN community based on people helping people. The best part is no membership fee. So what are you waiting for? Fill out the contact form below right here over on podcastcity.net/join now and sign up today. Podcast City Network, your top source for independent podcasting. Be creative, be yourself.
You're listening to The Everett Lee Show.
I'm excited with like seeing what you and Brandon. I haven't seen any tag matches. There was a tag match up on YouTube and I could not watch it for the sake of trying to watch it, because the way the camera was being held every time I took my phone.
Yeah, it flips.
Yeah, I just couldn't do it. I said I love to watch it, but I just can't do it.
Yeah, but it's like I went back and I was watching it, and it was doing the same thing. So I just turned my phone halfway, so I can just halfway see it in the right way, Yeah, the announcer guy that was holding the phone, I don't know if he was, if he meant to do it that way or what, but I was just like, oh, I'm just a little confused of why it's moving.
Yeah, it's funny how, again, how technology acts, because it can work with you or work against you.
Yeah.
And it just seemed like it just didn't work, or what the cause was with the rotation. Maybe it was one of those where it just rotates when you slightly move the phone. Who knows?
Yeah. Or yeah.
It's weird because you can take a, like, I had a phone I could take pictures with. And then as soon as I plug it into my computer and upload the picture to my computer, the picture's sideways. So I had to manually, every time I uploaded pictures, I had to go through like a whole album. If I went out someplace, I took a bunch of pictures that day, I'd get home, upload it on my computer. I'd sit there and just spend more time rotating pictures than anything. It's like, why is this happening to me, man? Yeah. You're supposed to be working with me, not against me. But it is what it is most of the time. Yeah. It is. So Grindhouse Pro, you've been wrestling there with Brandon, I would assume, right?
Brandon's been there. I've worked for Grindhouse a couple times. I haven't been back yet, but I've been in contact with Tony. I know. I think Ronnie is the booker.
Uh-huh.
So I have to get back with him. So hopefully I can make my return back to Grindhouse. Cause right when I started there, that's when the pandemic happened and everything shut down.
Yeah.
So I was like, well, that sucks.
Yeah. That 2020 was bad for independent wrestling because a lot of shows after March, everything that was booked for March, I have a friend who's a manager, and he was so excited about all these bookings he has for 2020. And then when that hit, those went out the window, man. And a couple of promotions up around the Chicago area where he lived, they shut down. They couldn't get up and run because no large crowds, no one could be around each other. And it really, really did hurt a lot of workers, because especially Ohio, because I have a lot of friends that work in Ohio. And Ohio, their wrestling runs through their state athletic department. It runs through the state. So when the state says no athletics, you know, going on, period, that means none of these promotions there can do anything. And there for the longest time, a lot of them, I mean, weren't doing any work. But when other things started slowly coming back around outside Ohio, like Indiana, Virginia, I'd say like Pennsylvania,
we were shut down too, like this whole state, because we have an athletic commission also.
That's right, because I remember my good friend that passed away just a couple weeks ago, JJ McGuire, he was telling me about that, because he did stuff for a promotion there, and he told me at one point that you have to have a license, and he was telling me how much it is. And he said, you guys were shut down for a while there in Kentucky, and you slowly started to come back there, and it was just rough. 2020 towards the beginning, in the middle, I mean, towards 2021 there, when things started slowly coming back. I know people were excited, because here in Daytona, here in Florida, everyone acted like nothing was going on, man.
Yeah.
Because like the thing, if you remember, you see when they locked down the state here, when they locked down Florida, okay, they're like, nothing goes on. Well, you know, WWE had in Orlando here, NXT. Yeah. NXT and Monday Night Raw and Friday Night SmackDown was still going on. And there were stories of the cops coming out and saying, you got to shut this down. It's like, we're a production. We're a TV show. No, you got to shut it down. So that's when, you know, I'd like to have been the fly on the wall for this conversation, James. Vinnie Mac, Vince McMahon calling at the time, who was president? Trump, you know, calling his buddy there, you know, saying, hey, Trump, I got the cops on me. Do something about it. You know, you want the cops gone? All right, it's done. Yeah. I like to be the fly on the wall on that, man. Yeah. And so they made the state. They said wrestling was an essential business.
Yeah.
So AEW, Tony Khan was like, hey, we're so official business, so we're going to run into Jacksonville Stadium, man.
Yeah.
It was great because they did something different from what WWE did. That's when I started dropping off, quit watching the product.
And yeah.
Like, that WrestleMania was just not a WrestleMania.
Yeah.
I was furloughed. I was working, and that was probably the last WrestleMania I watched was 36. Yeah.
Yeah.
The crowdless WrestleMania. They had those t-shirts and said I wasn't there. And then there was memes. I said, this year's WrestleMania is broken into tennis rector of zero.
Yeah.
It was 2020 was just a bad year for it, but 2021 was much better because when things started rolling again there, people started coming out to shows and supporting it. Workers were able to get back out there and do what they love. And it's getting better now. And to me, it's like things are back like they were, because that's a bad nightmare you just leave behind you, man.
Yeah.
2020 is like that ex-girlfriend you don't talk about.
Yeah.
It is. It's one of those ex-girlfriends you just don't talk about. You know, it's like she was there, but she wasn't.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. 2020 reminds you of the bipolar ex-girlfriend I had that burnt me with a cigarette on my arm. No. Yeah, that's a different story for a different day. I could do a whole podcast about that there, that relationship. But hey, you learn.
Yeah.
You learn. I tell you, I wouldn't trade my wife for no one in the world.
You know, yeah.
We went September 10 years.
Nice.
Yeah, 10 years. I was like, she's the only woman that could put up with me for 10 years. And we've been together for 11, but 10 years and a 5-year-old daughter. I wouldn't trade it for nothing in the world, man. And my little dog, my little silent co-host that speaks up every once in a while between my feet down here. Yeah, it's life, man. I love it.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely love it. But What do you got going on event wise coming up? And
I believe I got a show on April 9th in Eddyville, Kentucky. Then I think it's the 23rd or the 26th, I'm doing like another fundraiser for one of the high schools around here.
Nice.
Then after that, I'm not 100% sure. I just know those two so far.
You said Grindhouse Pro. I'd like to see you in Grindhouse Pro. I would
love to go back.
Tell Ronnie Roberts, and if he listens to this, tell him, say, Every Lee says, book you and Brandon Wolf.
I'll get a hold of Ronnie.
Yeah. Tell him I was like, I prayed to the Lord. And the Lord told me to tell, have you tell me to tell him through you the book, James Kendrick and Brandon Wolf. I'd like to see some more matches with you guys,
yeah,
man.
We're working on it. We're working on whatever promotions he's with and whatever promotions I'm doing stuff with. We're trying to get it to where we're both at the same location, because he gets dates like months in advance, and some of the companies I work for, they're like, oh, we got a show on this day, you know, next month. I can see if I can do it.
Yeah, it's great, because I mean, again, you and Brandon Wolf as a tag team, I'm looking forward to seeing more stuff happen like that, man. And I love tag team wrestling. What I like about tag team wrestling is how a really good tag team match is when they cut that ring off, and yes, you get them right there. That right there, that's good right there. Distract the ref, come in with the cheap shots. Ref turn around, yep. Hey, nothing's going on here. I love that, man. I love that. You come back from the double down, the hot tag, all that stuff. The crowd gets into that, man, and you entertain them that way. Yeah. And it's, I love a good old tag team match. I have a friend. He's like, I don't like tag teams. I was like, I do, man. They're fun. They're fun. They're entertaining.
It's a lost art.
Yeah. It's a big thing that, you know, to work out, because mm-hmm. you know, there's so many elements that go into that type, because with who's going over, the finish, who, you know, tagging in and out, doing your yep. spots and getting your work in, getting your stuff in, and just having a good time doing it and entertaining a crowd.
Yeah, it's a lost art. I'm always watching older stuff, like, you know, the Andersons versus the Rock and Roll Express, or Tully yeah. and Arn versus Rock and Roll Express, Midnight Express versus, you know, Ricky and Robert. Today's stuff, like, let's say WWE. Vince doesn't believe in tag teams.
No.
There's only one tag team that's been, or two. You got the Usos and New Day. That's it. Yep. That's your tag division.
It's sad. AEW, they do more with tag matches than what I yeah. see. They do. And that's why I don't watch that product no more. I quit watching it as soon as Taker retired. I said, I'm done, man. And did you see his last match with AJ Styles?
Yes.
Oh, man, perfect way for a character to end his career and ride out into the sunset. Just,
yeah.
Man, it just perfect for those 30 years, man. 30 yeah. years. Wow. You know, and you probably heard this before in the business. You usually live, or you usually retire, or have to put up your boots with, you know, depending on injury, and not many few get to walk away from it. You know,
yeah,
they don't.
Yeah,
three things. It's you die in the business, or you have to put up your boots because of injury, or you're able to walk away from it. And rarely yeah. you're able to just leave, you know, to on your own terms there.
Yeah. Like one of my mentors, Vic the Bruiser, he's also one of Brandon's mentors. Mm-hmm. This is his last year, and he's been like, he broke in 92.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
He's done it all. He's done stuff for WWE. He's just like, I'm 55 years old. It's time to hang it up. So, you know, this year's like started like towards the end of last year, you know, he was doing like this whole farewell thing. And he's like, 2022 is going to be the last one. I was like, well, you better make sure I'm on that show. Mm-hmm. That's all that matters.
Yeah. That's amazing, man. I mean, 55, 2022, one last run. And it's like my friend last year, he did one last run last year and he hung it up in September. He hung it up. He's like, I'm done. He's 63 and he had to quit because of his knees, man. His knees weren't like they used to be. And my friend Tommy, he's like 6'2", 6'3". So he said, I'm done. He did everything he wanted to do and he's happy. He's happy, you know, not being able to step back in that ring. He is, but he wanted to do one last run. Just give it one big, you know, one go, one last run and just see what happens. And he liked it. And one thing was I got to work with him last year. I finally, after I've known him for 11 years and out of all that time, finally got to work with him, you know, doing production and video editing and the graphic design for CFWE. I enjoyed it. That's the one reason why I got into helping and doing with CFWE was because my best friend, we never got to work together and we finally got to work together and it was great. We had a blast, had a good time and a lot of things to talk about, you know, look back on. It's like, hey, remember that show when you were, I remember that, man. Hey, remember that show when this happened? Yeah, I remember that when that happened, Tommy. So we got some memories to share, which is amazing. Yeah. And I'll cherish those, you know, for you know, long as I live. And it's great. It's definitely great. Speaking of getting in the ring with and just getting in the ring in general, who would you like to get in the ring with that you have not gotten in the ring with? What's your dream opponent? Who's out there on the indies you have your eyes on? You're like, I like to get in the ring. I think you'd be a good dance partner for me.
Oh, there's so many choices.
I stumped you.
Josh Crane. Josh Crane.
Josh Crane.
And I would like to get to the ring with Dale Patrick.
Dale Patrick. Okay.
Yeah.
Josh Crane. Dale Patrick.
I would step in their world of doing the death matches.
Oh, you would go to death match route?
I would do a death match with them.
Oh wow.
And Neil Diamond Cutter. Yeah. Neil,
okay. You said Neil Diamond Cutter? Man, that reminds me, James. A few weeks ago on IWTV, I believe I watched, what the heck is that promotion? Because they had a show.
Is it ICW? Or the No Holds Barred?
Yeah, it was. I believe it was ICW. I believe it was that promotion there. Actually, I've got it pulled up right here. I'm looking right now on IWTV on my browser right here, because it was a match with him in it, and it had Matt Tremont in it. Oh man, I think it was that promotion there, because it also had Mickey Knuckles.
Yep.
Yeah, in it. You know which one I'm talking about?
I believe so.
Man.
Yeah.
They about killed each other. What got me was Mickey Knuckles picks up a cinder block, man, and just starts using it as cinder block and so many light tubes. That match was just unreal, man. I never seen anything like that out of the deathmatch wrestling. And seeing Matt Tremont in there is, you know, a legend as he is, a veteran as he is, man, just still going at it.
Yeah.
He does great with H2O.
Yeah.
His promotion.
I watched some of the H2O.
Yeah.
He's doing great with that.
He is. They come out every Sunday at 8 p.m. on IWTV. They come out with the one show. Why is my brain going blank here? All right, there's H2O. There it is. Underrated. They're already up to episode 17. That's a great show right there to watch. But that IWS,
yeah,
man, that hardcore match, they tear it up. That was the weekend where David Russell, my friend, you were on his podcast just recently. I was sitting there. I have two monitors. I'm looking at you in one monitor, and I got everything up on the other browser. I could see everything going on with Podbeam right there. And I had social media up over on this side. I had Twitter going on, watching everyone tweeting about what was going on. I had two Twitter's feed pulled up. And on this monitor right here, the one I'm looking at you on, I had two wrestling events going on at the same time. I had Freelance Underground and IWS going on. So David video calls me on the phone. He's like, "Hey, Everett, what you doing?" I said, "Watching wrestling. What you watching?" And I was like, "Check this out." And I flipped it over. And I'm like, "What do you think, man?" And he's like, "You watching two wrestling events?" I was like, "Yeah." It's like, what the heck, man? It's like, I had both of them. I had two browsers on one, I matched it up perfectly down the middle. I had two events going on, and I had the volume at one level where they both blended in together and stuff.
Yeah.
So when someone got on the mic, I'd mute that one, listen to what they say. Okay. And then I'd turn it back over. So it was almost like pitcher, back and forth.
Yeah.
he's like, "Man, I need to get two monitors." I said, You can. I was like, "This is how you," I'm multitasking. I was like, I'm tweeting and watching two wrestling matches. And here in a little bit, I'm probably going to pull up like another social media account if I can remember the password for it. So that's how that went there. But yeah, I just love the stuff they have on there. And it'd be interesting to see you in doing deathmatch. Brandon said, "Nah, that's not his
flavor. Not for him." I want to dabble in it just a little bit, you know, because especially in Indiana, that's all that's there, really. Mm-hmm. Of course, you got AWR that's in Indianapolis. You got IWA Mid-South that's in southern Indiana.
Right.
You know, it's just one of those types of things, like, maybe I'll try it, see where it goes. Hey. But it seems like everybody's wanting to get into it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, I might dabble in it.
Hey, you got to give it a try, man. It's like, you know, try something else. At least if you do it and it's not what you wanted, and it's not how you looked at it, At least you tried it. You could say, yeah. Hey, at least I did a death match. It'd be something you could bring up to your, you know, your kids or your grandkids. You know, it's like, hey, I was in a death match one time.
Yeah.
One of those things.
Yeah.
Man, someone with a loud engine just driving by. It's about that time for that loud car to drive by. Hopefully, I try to make sure the mic don't pick it up, though. But maybe they'll slow down with the children at play signs we got out front. But anyway.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, maybe. But my daughter, she, talking about children, my daughter, she sat down and was watching Prestige Wrestling with me a couple weeks ago. And she was sitting there watching it. And she's like, I want to watch Wrestling Daddy. I was like, you never want to watch wrestling with me. You never do. I would watch it, Daddy. Okay. So we sat there. And while I'm sitting there, I said, I would sit there and say, you know, like when, you know, spots happen and stuff, I'm like, oh, you know, just try to, like, you know, get her, be like, oh, wow. And then there's stuff. She loves the women. She loves watching the women. We watched this past weekend, I pulled up, I believe it was Uncharted Beyond Wrestling. Mm-hmm. I pulled up one of their shows. It was from the weekend before because I missed out on it because I planned on watching it, but I wasn't able to. But therefore, the thing I like about IWTV, you can always go back and watch something that you miss. And I went back and I was watching that event there. I'm trying to pull it up here again. Multitasking here. One thing I noticed on IWTV is when a product or a promotion, they like to change your logos and it throws you off.
Yeah.
But we were watching that one last one. Oh, there it is. Monkey Business. I don't know if you heard about that one there. It was a good card. It had let's see. Who did it? Okay. Yeah, we were watching Kimberly versus Billy Starks.
Yeah,
Billy Starks is hot, man. Like in like go, you know, being a worker. That when I say Billy Starks is hot, I'm talking about she's that girl never stops. This past week she worked like four shows for the weekend, man. You know, she's here and she's there and she gets out there, man. She does. She stays busy. And my daughter was watching the Kimberly versus Billy Starks match with me, and she likes Billy Starks. My 5-year-old, Billy Starks, she's listening. My 5-year-old loves you. She loves you. She does. I enjoyed that match. It was great. And then the Jordan Grace versus Willow Nightingale. Yeah. Wow. That was something right there. And that she watched that with me too. She was sitting there. She couldn't believe a lot of the stuff that was, you know, being pulled out there.
And
she liked it, and we had a good time sitting there watching it and stuff. It reminded me and my father.
Yeah,
we'd sit there and watch WCW. I remember my father would get so mad, James. When Ric Flair come on TV, me and my brother would laugh. He'd cuss at the TV, yell at it, stand up, point his finger at it, wanting, you know, Dusty Rhodes to beat Ric Flair. He can't stand Ric Flair. He's dirty. He can't stand him. And I'm not going to repeat what he'd say, but me and my dad, we'd laugh about it. But then that's one person. We'd laugh every time Flair come on TV. He almost picked up the TV a few times and threw it out the door. I think he did. And the neighbors are like, oh, there goes their TV. I guess Ric Flair was on TV again. And then Jim Cornette. My dad couldn't stand Jim Cornette in the Midnight Express. He could not stand
it. I am not a fan of Cornette. as a kid watching Cornette, I was never a fan. Getting into it, I mean, he is smart with wrestling.
Yes.
But personally, I'm just like, what did you ever do besides talk on a microphone?
He was a great mouthpiece.
He can talk.
Oh,
but
yeah.
Some things I'm just like, especially when he's doing like the ranting and raving on Orange Cassidy. I'm like, well, he's on TV now. You're not.
Yeah. But I say this to people. I met the guy. Nice guy. I met him in person. I talked to him. Really nice guy. He did a Q&A. I met him back in 2017. No, 2018 at an event in Orlando called That Wrestling Event. I listened to his show. I laugh because I don't take the guy seriously.
Yeah.
I don't, because it's like he's just like, what's he gonna say next? And some of the things he does says, like from a business point of view, I'm like, okay, I get that. But when he said the only appearance I'm making this year is in Florida is at Orlando at this date in the state, I was like, I'm going to go meet the guy. I want to see what this guy's about, man. I've seen him for years on TV. I want to see what this guy's, what he is. And at that time, Jimmy Hart had his place here in Daytona. And I told Jimmy I was going to go see him. And Jimmy was like, hey, baby, mention this to Cornette. And he told me his story. So I was like, okay, I'll mention it to him. So I went there and met Cornette and got his picture hanging up here on my wall, signed it, and then took a couple pictures. The person there was nice enough to say, we'll take a couple pictures with Cornette. Yeah. So a couple pictures. We got 2 or 3 pictures with us. And I'm talking to Cornette, and I mentioned the thing to Jimmy that he told me. He started laughing. And I was wearing Jimmy Hart's shirt for his place here in Daytona.
Yeah.
So Cornette saw, that's the first thing Cornette seen. And he just started talking, asking like, how's Jimmy doing? I haven't talked to him in a while. I was like, Jimmy's great. How's his place near Daytona? Oh, it's great. Just catching up, talking about that. And I mentioned the thing and he laughed and he was like, well, mention this to Jimmy. I was like, okay. So he told me to reply back to Jimmy. And he told me a funny Jimmy Hart story where he had to carry Jimmy out of the building because the fans were about to kill him and Jimmy. If I can remember this, I'm probably messing it up, but it was funny. So I'm talking to the guy. He had to go do Q&A right there. As soon as the guy gets up and goes over there and they introduce him, he gets that live microphone. It was like switch. And I sat there in the crowd to the Q&A and I'm watching this guy and I was like, I get it now. I get it. So I totally get Cornette. I know he goes off on Orange Cassidy, calls him Pockets and stuff. Yeah. Because I didn't know who Orange Cassidy was. I saw him at the, what was it, All Out?
Yeah.
I seen him All Out. I'm like, who's this guy? And then hearing Cornette talk about him, I'm like, okay. So I Googled Orange Cassidy. So I see all this stuff come up and I'm like, at first I'm like, nah, not really too much into him. But as I watched him on AEW and go and go and go, what really got me to like him more was for the fact that when I guess one of the Hardy Boys, someone was cutting a promo there on him and they're going all off about Orange Cassidy, how they're going to whip his ass and all this stuff and everything. And I'm sitting there, I'm like, wow, I forgot who it was. It was the Private Party. They were going off wanting to whip his butt and stuff and everything. And then they showed Orange Cassidy. Okay. What's your response, Orange? Whatever. And then I just died laughing. I was like, that is so great. It's great. I'm like, I really like this guy now. I really did. He just one word, whatever. It's like,
if I'm not mistaken, I think he was also Orange Cassidy was also in Shakara as one of the ants. I think it was Fire Ant, maybe.
Okay.
Some of that stuff was pretty good.
Yeah. Yeah, Shakara has some very interesting characters there. Yes. Gargano wrestled there, man.
Yeah.
Yeah. I talked to a worker from Shakara a couple years ago. He reached out to me a while back ago on Twitter. I haven't got back to his messages out of all the messages I get on Twitter from people, but I said to myself, I said, I gotta get back to him. But
yeah.
I was like, when I talked to him at the time, he was this one character and it was great. And checking out all the characters and different, just the Shakara. Yeah. They got some interesting, you know, characters and gimmicks up there, but a lot of known people's been in Shakara, which surprises me, man. Like Johnny Gargano, and I can't think of who else off the top of my head. Eddie Kingston, yeah.
That's where he was trained with. That's where he trained at was Shakara.
Yeah, yeah. Just so many up there. It amazes me, man. It does with the talent that comes out of there. If you ever had the opportunity, would you go up there and wrestle?
What, Shakara? Oh yeah,
you would.
Oh yeah, in a heartbeat.
Yeah, yeah. What promotion you would like to least, you know, go to and wrestle at that you haven't had the opportunity yet to? Just take WWE and AEW out of the equation.
I would go for Shakara.
Okay.
Ring of Honor.
Uh-huh.
And maybe NWA.
Okay. Nice. Good. Really good three choices right there. And Ring of Honor, I'm interested to see what they're going to do with that now. Tony Khan, buying. How do you feel about that, man? Tony Khan buying Ring of Honor.
I mean, it could be good. He can turn it into like a developmental, you know, it's okay. Dustin, you got your school here, you know, you can bring your students here to, you know, work with, you know, maybe Jay and Mark Briscoe or, you know, whoever else they decide to bring back the Ring of Honor.
Right.
You know, just make it a developmental area. That's what I would do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, give NXT a run for their money for developmental.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. You
know, Ring of Honor has that name. You know, they established themselves in 2002. And, you know, bring it back to, you know, yeah, their home is Baltimore area, but go back to their old places that they used to tour at, you know, Dayton, Ohio, Chicago Ridge, you know, stuff like that. Go back to those places, mm-hmm. You know. I mean, if Tony does it right, Tony's making money.
Right.
He's got to get the right people in there to help out with the talent, you know, booking it, you know, whatever. Because if Tony's going to do it by himself, he's probably going to burn himself out.
Yeah, he is. And you know, he's going to have a good team with him. Someone that knows what they're doing. They're gonna be there. They're gonna be helping, you know, Tony and doing that. And I'm interested. One thing I'm interested in, James, is seeing where they're going to put the library at. There's a whole library of Ring of Honor from when it started till now, past and present, everything in between. I will say this. I have a friend who is a former Ring of Honor talent, and I'm when I heard the news broke that Tony bought ROH, and there was rumors of like a streaming service or like someplace. Yeah. I said to him, I mentioned that to him. He said, "Hell," he said, "they start pulling out the stuff I had back in the day, I'll start getting paid finally."
Yeah,
he would. He'd start getting, you know, royalty. He'll start getting royalty checks, man, and that'd be good to find a place to, you know. I'd love it because they were talking about HBO Max as a place and two other places.
Unless they decided to throw it all on Fight TV.
Yeah, that's a place there. There's so many options. Tony, the thing is, Tony has so much in so many places he can go with that.
Mm-hmm.
It's amazing. And he has that whole library, which is great. And like you said, like developmental, there's talks about him doing developmental with ROH for AEW. And it's going to be great. And he's going to do it right because NXT 2.0, that's just, I quit watching after Adam Cole left.
Yeah.
After Undisputed Era said goodbye, I said to myself, I said, I like the talent that was on there, but to me, it's just, I knew where they were going to go. So I'm pretty much watching this product A or B, this product compared to this product. And something from this product's going to here that I like, then I'm going to watch that because they said that Wednesday night on Dynamite when Cole was on there, that hour, the ratings like really shot the week after, like Adam Cole, like the week before Adam Cole was on NXT, ratings for that when Adam Cole was on was up. The week after, when he was on AEW, the ratings for NXT went down and the AEW ratings went up. So what's that tell you right there?
that speaks
for itself, you know? It does. And it's funny how all that stuff works and it just it goes back and forth. It just amazes me. But wow. We've talked about a lot of things tonight.
Yes.
we did. And I do want to thank you for coming on here tonight.
Oh, thank you for having me.
And talking. No problem, man. David Russell hit me up and said, "Hey, you need to get Brandon's tag team partner on." I was like, "All right." As soon as he said that, boom, it was like we got in contact and it was like, "All right, let's do this. Let's make a date. Get it, you know, get together and do this." And I'm so glad I, you know, had the privilege to talk with you tonight. And
it was an honor of mine. Thank you.
Thank you. And again, what event do you have coming up again?
April 9th, I'll be in Eddyville, Kentucky for NAW Wrestling. Then either April 23rd or April 26th, I'll be at in Greensburg, Kentucky. Yeah, Greensburg at I think it's the high school.
Okay.
For USWF and UCW for a fundraiser for the athletic department.
Okay. Nice. That's amazing. I love that. I love what you're doing for chair, you know, for, you know, fundraiser. I love that. That's good. I love when wrestling does a fundraiser for a good cause. And that's what it's about, man. Entertain and do something for a good cause.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, it definitely is. Social media. Where can people find James Kendrick on social media app?
I'm on Facebook, Instagram. I'm on Twitter, but I get on there every now and then. But I'm mostly on Facebook. It's under James Matheny, but you can also look up James Kendrick and I'll be there also. Instagram, I think it's James Kendrick or James. I brain fart. I can't remember, but I'm on either or.
You're out there. You're out there.
Yeah, I'm there.
Your main one's Facebook.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. That's great, man. Thank you again for coming on. And before we close out here, before we take it home, let me mention that you can follow the Everett Lee Show over on Facebook, Everett Lee Show, Twitter at the Everett _ Lee, Instagram, Everett Lee, YouTube, Everett Lee, and audio portions of this podcast are available here on Podbeam, Amazon Music, iHeartRadio, Stitcher Radio, and on iTunes. And can't forget Podcast City Network, your top source for independent podcasting. Be creative, be yourself. Head over to podcastcity.net to check out shows such as The Everett Lee Show, Imaginarium with Scott and Todd, Verbal Shenanigans, Movie Nights Podcast, Deathmatch Russell Podcast with David C. Russell, and Final Score and The Chris Carnage Show. Much, much more over on podcastcity.net. Follow them on Facebook, Podcast City Network, Twitter, at Podcast City Net. And that's it, ladies and gentlemen. I will see you again next time for another episode of the Everett Lee Show. Everyone have a good night, and thank you for tuning in for your shot of entertainment.